Good afternoon. Welcome back to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a League of Nations among other Internet radio talk stations, Voices of the People, United We Roar. And if you wish to listen to today's show, go over to http://internetvoicesradio.com and click on one of the two streams. And now, from 2 to 2:30, let me present to you Martha Trowbridge. Good afternoon, Martha.
Good afternoon, Lillian. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Okay, I am Martha Trowbridge. Dr. Barbara's away today, though she sends many holiday well wishes. Loretta Kensley is our guest, writer, activist, and devotee of the sacred feminine. Loretta is president of Women Artists and Writers International and publisher of Moondance, Celebrating Creative Women, which is www.moondance.org. which is the first women's e-magazine now in its 11th year of publication. She's a native of the San Fernando Valley in California and, amongst other things, an avid horsewoman. Loretta, we are so pleased to have you as our guest.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here. It's exciting.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Well, I'd like to focus today upon the phenomenon of happiness via creativity. And so we'll be talking about how each of us women can achieve lasting, authentic happiness through creative expression. And perhaps, Loretta, we could start by talking about being a woman who has had a less than perfect beginning and how identifying, accessing, and employing our creativity is truly life-saving. I should say spirit-saving, since I'm an inspirational writer.
Well, we all have things that make us feel alive and genuine. Usually those aren't what we've been taught. It's what we're born with. And we're all creative in these variety of ways. I'm known for my writing, but I also sew, decorate my home, I garden, I train horses. Each of these is a creative expression because something new is born. Something now exists that didn't exist before.
And that is so phenomenal, isn't it? And I think that's why birthing a child is so amazing for women, too, is that there is this something new that comes out of our creativity. It's just dazzling.
Well, it's being united with the divine love that, mm-hmm. that is everywhere. And this, it is our creativity that brings us to that. And our creativity is intangible. We can't hold it in our hands. It exists only within our soul. But we share this ability with every person we meet. Each of us expresses our creativity in a unique way, and nobody else will create exactly as you or I create. But it's all fabulous.
It sure is. And what's very sad, I don't know if it holds true today in the public school system, but when I was a child, I'm in my early 50s now, when I was a child, creativity was sort of frowned upon. It was not something that was fostered and cherished, which is very, very tragic for women because it's just an amazing part of ourselves that we need to be in touch with to be happy.
Well, you're right, and I got the same thing when I was in school. We were expected to do all of the tasks first, and then if there's any time left...
Right.
We can be creative,
yes.
You know, midnight or something,
yes.
And that, because everything else is more important.
Right.
But we can see this in the reaction of others when we put creativity first every day of our life. People will say, stop fooling around. Get serious. There's work to be done. You'll never earn a living doing that.
Exactly. That writing and painting and all things like that are not real jobs. They're not real vocations.
Yeah, but what is lost in that is the reality is that creativity is our source. It's not an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
When I create, my energy expands to include the rest of the task.
Mm-hmm.
When I do the other tasks first, I get tired, and then I don't really feel like creating. I don't even think about creating. I just think about resting and how am I going to get through this day.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go back to creating, that's my quickest way of gaining energy. My tiredness vanishes, and I feel full of passion and zest, and I want to go forward in the day and meet it and grab hold of it.
Well, you are clearly comfortable with being creative, and as we were saying a moment ago, many women have been taught that it's not something they should be doing, when in fact it is something very much so they should be doing, whether it's through writing, painting, or crafts, or however, as you were mentioning earlier, you're a gardener, however a woman can create something in her life that is beauty and personally meaningful, that really is, and that actually moves us into our next topic, which is the creative process as therapy. From my vantage point, creativity is the ultimate self-embrace. And Dr. Silvano Ariete, I don't know, Loretta, if you're familiar with his book, Creativity, the Magic Synthesis.
Yes, I am.
A fabulous book. And he defines creativity as a synthesis between left and right brain, which, when you think about it, is really all of yourself, taking your logical, mathematical, behaved part and fusing that with your expansive, spiritual, creative part of you.
Well, and science backs that up for women, especially because recent research into the brain shows that women have more neural interconnections between the two hemispheres.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes us more able to access both hemispheres at the same time and to integrate them.
Right. So would you mind sharing with us a bit about how the creative process itself, not so much the end product, but the process in which you engage when you're creative, has been therapeutic? I know you have told me in the past that trauma has, I see a quote here from you, trauma has visited my life on a regular basis. Would you mind sharing with us some of the things you've been through and how your creativity saved you?
Well, I suffered from an abusive mother as a child, and no surprise, I grew up and married a man who was violent and abusive. I've lived through two major earthquakes, and of course, I have children who've had their own traumas in which I participate because I care about them, and it's a long list of things, and I couldn't have survived emotionally if I didn't create. For instance, after the last earthquake in 1994, I was locked in a battle with the insurance company from hell. And it's easier for me to accept and deal with nature. The earthquake was easier than the insurance company because they were deliberately trying to destroy my life. I wanted to run, and they wanted me to run, because they could have saved thousands, and I would have lost my home, so I couldn't run. Instead, I decided that catastrophe can be a creative catalyst, and out of that period was Moondance. That's when it was born. I needed something new. I created something new, and it was my lifesaver.
Right, and I see here from some notes that Moondance, which, again, for listeners who are not familiar with Moondance, it is a literary online e-zine for women that celebrates women's creativity. I see here, Loretta, you wrote and said it was an idealistic endeavor which absorbed your time and replenished your spirit. Could you tell us a little bit about that time?
Yeah, I had previously been published quite a bit, and I knew I wanted to focus on my writing. That earthquake just changed my life totally. But I didn't want to focus on the traditional women's magazines. I didn't want to write, oh, you could only be socially acceptable if you buy our advertisers' products. That's so phony. I didn't want to participate. So being that the Internet was a cheap way to publish, I could do what I wanted. And we don't accept advertisers because we don't want to have to cater to advertisers. We don't want our writers to have to cater. We want our writers to write what's authentic and genuine in their life, in their soul, in the lives of other women. And all of the staff members, all the contributors are volunteers, so we can offer this totally free to the public, and we have thousands of pages now after 11 years. And it was this ideal of women being able to be who they really are in print and reach other women that that's the vision that began it, and the vision it still stays with.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So 11 years, you've seen a lot of evolution of the e-zine.
Oh, certainly. Certainly. Mm-hmm. The first one I coded myself, and right. if anybody were to go back and look, they would go, oh, terrible. But, right. you know, I just picked up a book on HTML, and I did the best I could because I was the only one there to do it.
That's great. And for those of our listeners who are interested, if you visit www.moondance.org, there are submission guidelines there. There are. Do you know, have a sense, Loretta, how many different departments you have now?
We have about 5 different ones right now.
5 different departments. And
yeah.
so for any of you listeners who may be interested in contributing to Moondance, there are instructions on the website. And I encourage all of you to do so. So now I see, again in my notes, about the Maui Writers' Convention. And this little vignette takes place after Moondance was created, is that correct?
Yes, it was in 2003.
Okay.
And a friend and I went to the Maui Writers' Convention, and she entered me in their writing contest. It's fiction book writing, and I... entered one that I had titled Liar's Labyrinth, and it won. It was placed in the top 10 out of 850 contestants, and one of their judges, who is a best-selling author, remarked that I had an edgy way of writing, and I prefer to think of it as honest. The most effective way to capture the emotion of the moment is to write when I'm in that emotion. When I'm angry, instead of fighting with someone I care about, I write instead.
Mm-hmm.
And I say all those things I don't want to inflict upon that loved one.
So it really is a release.
Yeah, and I can make that person I'm angry at into the worst villain that ever existed, and I could put words in their mouth that I think they're probably thinking but don't want to say to me.
Uh-huh.
And I may never use that scene, but I often do in some later project. I change the names, the settings, the dialogue to fit the plot, but the emotion remains.
Mm-hmm.
I want the emotion to be raw and deep and clear so my readers can identify what is happening and why. And my readers like that. They write to express solidarity, thank me for saying what they felt but never dared to say.
Mm.
And that's a real healing process for me, because then I not only get to put all these dark thoughts on paper, or good thoughts, whatever they are, I also begin to feel connected to all the other women out there.
Mm. And you say here, we should all dare to say what our hearts feel, good or bad.
Right, right. We can all do journals. Mine happens to be on the computer rather than on print because it's just faster for me. But we need to give voice to ourselves. We don't have to write formally or even cohesive. Sometimes I simply write phrases or single words that help me express what is pent up inside. And in doing so, I often find myself writing what I did not realize, even thought, or I felt. Intense things, enlightening things about myself, my universe, people I love, horses I love. And very often I find spiritual truths that were buried and I never voiced before. This to me is the most fundamental part of being creative, being able to listen to myself and to give voice to what is buried with inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I release it back to the universe, and I keep only what will help in the future.
Right, and women can have this creative expression regardless of the media used. So, for example, you use the words, you use writing, but as you were mentioning earlier, gardening, if you're not skilled in painting or craft, whatever it is, you can use the same dynamics to express yourself and to receive back that amazing, that awe of the universe in the process. So let's move on to creative product, as to use an expression of Dr. Frank Summers, who's been our guest here at Happiness for Women Only, excuse me, self-creation. What about the object or the thing or the what have you create as a result of the creative process? How do you see that as helping to create yourself in the here and now?
Well, as I said, a lot of times things come up that I didn't even realize that I thought or felt, and that, of course, helps to form me. And also it creates a personal myth, which is a powerful way of being. We all have myths we believe ourselves that guide our lives. If we believe that we're attractive, smart, and strong, we react different than if we believe we are ugly, dumb, or weak.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
And that can vary. Excuse me, Loretta. Sometimes we can feel one extreme or the other within the space of a day or a week.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, of course, the negative myths drag us down and limit our lives. Oh, she's smarter than me, so there's no use for me applying for that job. They'll hire her, not me. Mm-hmm. I'm clumsy, so there's no use trying out for the team. And we don't even try because of what we believe negatively about ourselves. On the other hand, if we believe, I can learn this, I can do this, even if I am not perfect in this moment, I can become better, then we're more likely to try. And so myths are very important. And when I write, I'm creating myths. Sometimes I borrow from myths I admire, and other times I change myths I hate. But at the core of it all, I'm recreating myself from within the myth.
And speaking of myths, you've done so much work with the sacred feminine. Would you like to talk a few moments about that, Loretta?
Well, I grew up in a Mormon family with a father who was very active, and I learned a lot from him as a child, and of course throughout his life. But I went a different way because I am a woman's advocate. I am a feminist, and my writing revolves around improving the lives of women. So I learned more, but from a different angle. For instance, I went back to Adam and Eve, and I decided, you know what? Eve is the hero here. I mean, she's an adventuress.
I thought she was the villain.
Yeah, she was an adventuress, and she was the leader, not Adam. He was weak. He followed her. He had no creative ideas.
She was the creator of all that followed.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. As I decided this, I went looking for more, and I found out that the original version as written by Jay, who is what the first writer is known as, because we don't really know her name, and Harold Bloom in the myth, the book of Jay says it was a woman. She wrote it as a goddess adventure, and it's the goddess wisdom is represented by the tree of knowledge, and all of the symbols in there are goddess symbols. And only later did it become transformed under patriarchy to where women are the evil ones. And so all of this research has made me realize how much we're missing of the sacred feminine. So I do a lot of writing, and my intent is to reclaim the sacred feminine myths. And this is an ever-expanding subject. It's like circular ripples created by dropping stones in a pond. They just keep getting wider. And so I don't foresee ever running out of things to write about.
Oh, not at all. And one thing I have long admired about you, I mean, you and I connected in the year 2000, so it's been 7.5 years since you and I connected when, if I may divulge, I was fiction editor at Moondance for 6 years, and that's one way Loretta and I got to know each other so well. But one thing I so admire about you, of a long list of things I admire, is how much you read, how much you continue to learn, and how much you enjoy the learning process. It's fabulous.
I do. I'm a compulsive reader. If there was printing on toilet paper, I would read it. And
don't even give them that idea, please. Loretta, but, you know, did you start reading as a young girl?
Yes, I did. My mother wrote in my baby book that I had read the complete set of my storybook house by the time I was age 3, and that was 12 books that are about 200 pages each.
Oh, God, you were born to write.
My second grade teacher said I wrote stories then, and they were good. I wish I had them because I have no clue what they were about.
Oh.
But, yeah, I've always read and I've always written, and so here I am still today. I'm 62 now, and I still have as much enjoyment of both. And that one inspires the other. And as I'm writing, I think of something to research, and I go and I learn that, and then I come back and write some more. And or if I'm reading, I think, oh, my gosh, this is a terrific subject to write on. And so it's like a circular energy, which is feminine energy.
Yes. And what's wonderful as I listen to you is to, for all of us to understand it doesn't take a lot of money to be able to do these things. The resources out there are phenomenal today compared to what they were even 20 years ago. So much information is available online for free. It's marvelous.
Oh, and the public libraries.
Right.
And I happen to be fortunate. I live in Los Angeles. But I can go to the library and I say, I want a book on this. And if it's not there in my local library, they'll hunt it down for me.
They'll find it. It's just great, isn't it? So I guess we're getting short on time, and I wanted to spend a few moments talking about creativity as contribution to the universe, as not just to ourselves, but to the universe.
Well, when we release something within ourselves, we are releasing the energy, and it's going out to the universe. And whether it's in movement, like dance, or artistic value, whether I'm painting or digging in the garden, it doesn't matter what I'm doing. The energy I expend is leaving me and going to the universe, and the ideas and thoughts, I think, go with the energy. And, for instance, when I'm writing about the sacred feminine, I send it out to other people. They pick it up and say, and add their ideas that are inspired by whatever I happen to say. They send it back, or they send it on. But either way, we're learning from each other what has been denied to us over the centuries. And it's growing. You can see the list, the discussion list for the sacred feminine. They used to be 10, 15, 20. We thought it was huge when it hit 100. Now they're in the thousands.
Mm.
And it's just, it's an exciting time to be alive. And I'm so privileged to be part of it.
It sure is. And as you spoke, I was thinking about the stark contrast of women, or people, I should say, expending their time and energy in a very positive way through creativity, and what that does for the universe and for life, as opposed to investing themselves in destructive activity, things like war and violence and all of those things, and what that, in very stark contrast, does for the universe.
Or suppressing our pain and mm-hmm. becoming depressed.
Right.
And
oh, isn't that true?
Yeah, and I've done that.
And so have I. Yes.
When I was in college, I found a poster that changed my life. It was very simple. It said, "We are never free until we are free to go to the end of our thoughts."
Hmm.
And that one sentence has inspired me every day of my life since then. I spend a lot of time searching for the end of my thoughts.
When you say the end of your thoughts, could you elaborate a bit, please?
Well, let's say that I've been raised in a religion that says this is the way it is, and do not search for anything further because you're risking being damned for all time and eternity.
Right.
Well, that's a limiting of your thought. I don't believe in a god or a goddess that would be so strict, that would not want me to know more. So I say, well, why don't you want me to know more? Why, you, the human, don't you want me to know more? And I go beyond it, and I start thinking, what is beyond that? Where did it begin? Why did it develop as it is? Where is it going? And so I just keep exploring and exploring until that particular train of thought feels satisfied.
Right, that it makes sense to you as an individual.
Exactly.
And you feel resolved, you feel at peace with whatever your discovery is.
Exactly.
As opposed to feeling something's been imposed upon you.
Exactly.
And that search is creativity.
It is creativity, and it transforms me, and it transforms every creative thing I do, because what I believe comes through in everything I write and every action I take during the day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my father once told me I should never argue for my limitations because as surely as I do, they will become mine.
Isn't that wise?
Oh yeah, he was so right.
He sure was. Well, we're almost out of time, and I'm wondering if you would like to just take a few moments to talk about what's coming up in the future for you.
Well, I've got several creative projects I'm working on, and one of them will be on the sacred feminine, on for those who are interested, how to go about finding the groups to talk to, the physical locations of meetings or the groups online, what books they could start with. And that's a big one because it's so dynamic. It's changing so fast I can barely keep up.
And we hopefully will be seeing that in about a year from now, would you say? Perhaps by the end of 2008 or the beginning of 2009?
Yeah, I would like for it to be out sometime this year.
Great. And I know who the publisher is.
Yeah.
Shall we spill the beans?
Yeah, you certainly
can. A small press, Trowbridge Press, and so this is one of our upcoming titles, and we're very excited about Loretta's upcoming book. Well, thank you so very much for being our guest today, Loretta. If anyone would like to reach you, what is a good email address to use?
LKemsley@moondiance.org.
Right, and that's spelled L. I'll repeat that in case people didn't get that. Kemsley, K-E-M-S-L-E-Y, at moondiance.org. I invite everybody to go over to the Moondance website and see what you may see. Thanks so much to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein for creating Happiness for Women Only. Thanks to Lillian Caldwell, our producer and owner of Passionate Internet Voices Radio. I'm Martha Trowbridge, wishing all of you a very happy, satisfying, wondrous new year. And till next time, I guess I already said what I was supposed to say. Thanks so very much for listening.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You have just listened to Martha Trowbridge and her program, Substituting for Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein in Happiness for Women. If you want to hear Martha's interview all over again, please go back to http://internetvoicesradio.com. Left-hand side of the page, press on Archives. A list of names will appear. Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein's name is among that list. You will see Martha when you click her program with her name and her guest right beside it. If you want a hard transcript of today's program, go back to the left-hand side and click on Daily Info. Scroll down the page until you come to Deb Harris's name and email. Copy and paste it. Put today's date, 12/28, the time, 2 to 2:30, the name of the program, Happiness for Women Only. And Deb Harris will take good care of you. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard, PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. And before you leave, I have a saying from Sally Merrill Redfield, who said, "Where I once found it safer to stay in the background, I stepped from the shadows into the spotlight." Our next program coming up is The Proper Care and Feeding of Your Soul with Deborah Linsdale and David Lentz. Thank you very much for listening. And remember, this Tuesday, January 1st, it's Crazy Tuesday with Rowena Cherry of Cherry Picking. So don't miss it. Thank you, and remember, keep listening.